Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right. Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Good morning, everybody from all around the world. Good afternoon, too. And hopefully good evening if we're heading to the far parts of the world. My name is Danny Wolf. I'm your co-host.
And I am the willing cohort, Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts.
Even without glasses today. I'm trying to figure out. I've got the normal glasses on, not the work weather glasses, because those buggers are sitting back in the hotel room somewhere.
You know, I was speaking to someone, a longtime listener, actually, James Farrow, who is awesome. Awesome, by the way. People, you should follow James Farrow. He has these cool glasses. Every time I get on a call with him, he has these, like, the blue glasses.
Yeah, the reflecting light. They help the eyes on the computers. Yeah, I got to say, I like them. Mine are cool. Yellow tinted.
They are very cool. I got to invest in some of those. The problem is I am very nearsighted, and so when you suffer from severe myopia, you have beer bottoms as glasses. So I would like a cool pair of glasses at some point in my life.
I need to send you to the folks I use. I got two pairs. I got a blue pair, which I've got on, and I got a red pair. And the blue, these pair I've now got, they've modified the lenses because with all the diabetes and shit, I lost about 20 or 30% of my vision in the left eye. Neuropathy. Yeah, I didn't realize. Apparently, neuropathy isn't just feet, legs, and hands. It's actual end of eye stem shit.
Yeah.
So they redid those, and then they realigned some whatever the hell they did, and then there's coatings and crap on them. Yeah, they're fantastic. And I got a red pair as well. My red pair is like, stay the hell away from me. I'm going to cut you.
Mm-hmm. I remember the red pair actually.
Yeah.
A few times on Dr. Dark Web.
Yeah. My gosh. Yeah, we need to do. I had those stickers out in Vegas. What was that, 2 weeks ago? Last week? No, 2 weeks ago.
I have some too. I have the dungeon one.
Yeah, we need to figure that one out. We need to go talk to those folks and go, hey, we need to steal the name back.
My God. And seriously. Seriously. Then we got to figure out stickers for this pod because, I mean, we're at 30 episodes almost, and that's legit.
Time. I got ideas. I got like a bloody PowerPoint doc going with all the ideas on the
Send
other
them
computer.
Over. I got intro to a really cool designer, by the way. So,
All right, that'd be fun. We need to do something.
All right. So, where are you in the world, Mr. Roberts?
I want to be nice because they've given us the offices and all this stuff. But there's a big part of me that, like, the long term geek of me goes, I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm actually in New York. We are on in / around Times Square. Times Square is literally a stone's throw from here. And we're at Microsoft's office in New York. And the guys from Simperis have allowed me to come out here. And we're putting on the Hybrid Identity Protection Conference. And yours truly gets to stand up and speak tomorrow. I'm actually staying in the room with a whole bunch of other folks. So this is a live-ish podcast. But we're going to have some fun if anybody else picks up and says hi as well. All that good stupid shit. So yeah, we're having fun. And I have a new caricature of me as well. It's actually on the back of a t-shirt along with a whole bunch of other folks. I'll have to send that over. I actually kind of like it. It's kind of cool. Although it looks like I'm scowling and about ready to eat somebody. So, I mean, if that's the general feeling as to how I normally am, then, oh, well, such is life.
Oh, Chris, this morning is not the morning for me. It looks like I have a minor technical glitch with LinkedIn. So, folks, we are on LinkedIn on my channel, which didn't get connected.
Right, bro.
We're live here on LinkedIn and YouTube.
It is what it is. I'm pretty sure folks will know where to find us if they need to.
I'm losing my game though. I gotta get back on it. All right.
It's technology. It's because I just threatened Microsoft. Let's face it. I'm running on their network as well, which actually kind of scares me and intrigues me. I'm like, I'm actually inside. It's like, what chaos and mayhem can I cause while I'm here?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. So it looks like people found their way to LinkedIn. Thank you, everybody. And apologies for the slight mishap there. Whatever. Okay. We're going to get into it. What is on the shit list today? What are the WTF moments that we experienced in the last week?
We've had a couple this week, and we've had a couple that aren't ours, I think, which is an interesting one. You want to do the hours one first?
We can do the hours, and then we can do, Janet's, and then...
Here's one that I love. This is actually one that I love, and I love it because it's, again, you catch people in a lie. So I've got this inbound one. Hi, Chris. I was notified that there was research being done at Boom Supersonic around SaaS management on the company's platform. I was doing my due diligence. You were you? To put some pieces of the puzzle together. And it looks like there are a lot of software tools being used at Boom, and you're probably seeing these expensive risks continue to rise. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go look at my outbound logs just for shits and giggles. So I went and looked at my outbound logs, and their website appears nowhere in my outbound logs on any of my stuff, on any of my corporate stuff or anything else. So I called them on it, and they realized I got this backpedaling. And at which point in time, you know, it goes in the, you're lying to me. And this goes back to some of the stuff we've talked about before. You know, so much of this, the inbound stuff that we see, so much of that. And I got another one actually came in from one of the big firewall vendors. Dear F5, you might want to have a conversation to your business development.
By the way, just caveat, we don't generally, drop the names of the vendors, but in some cases... When it doesn't get through.
In some cases. Yeah. Yeah, this one didn't get through. So they're getting dropped on this one. You're right, because normally we don't, because normally they're actually a little bit more civilized. But sometimes a vendor does something so bloody ridiculous that I'm like, y'all got to be called out on this one because you need to change your business practices. Inbound one. This was, I think, the fourth or fifth one. And not only did they send it to me, they sent it to the entire team individually. Not combined, not anything else, individually. So let's not just hit one person up inside the company. Let's hit every single one of my folks, my peers, and my team inside the company. And I got the, hey, I'm part of Boom Supersonic's dedicated F5 account team alongside your account manager and the name of the account manager. I would love to get a quick and informal call to learn more about your current initiatives. Again, another one of those caught in a lie. We don't have a dedicated account team because your ass shit ain't in my damn system and my network. So why the hell would you have a fucking account team? You got a business development team and my name is on a fucking list and a spreadsheet that says you got to call me and try to sell me shit. But that's about as far as it goes. Don't tell me I have a dedicated account team because for the last 24/7/365, your ass has done fuck all. And now you want some sales. So again, I hate the lying. Oh, yeah, Adam's puff. Yeah, I had one of those. Yeah, I talked to your CEO and he directed me. Yeah, one of the that kind of stuff is about ready to get the flame.
I just have to say, I'm like stoked that Adrian is here.
Yeah, I love it, the fact he's here.
Welcome to the show, Adrian. All right.
Let's hit this one of yours, because this one of yours got you and I both riled up like big time.
Yeah, so we got tagged in a LinkedIn post 6 days ago from Janet. And I'm gonna, she was surprised. So she posted this publicly. It got 234 likes, 280 comments, 6 reposts. So it triggered a lot of folks in the industry. We should actually go back and take a look at some of the comments. That would be interesting. But the email she got went something like this. It went, subject, follow up, low code QA automation solution for fintech. Hi, Janet. The lack of response to my previous emails is a little surprising. As a professional who takes pride in delivering exceptional results, I find it difficult to comprehend the silence in the face of valuable information about vendors' vendors' capabilities. Our proven track record of successful partnerships with industry leaders, including name, company name, more company names, another 3 company names, and then 5 more company names. And many more. We demonstrate our ability to drive digital transformation and generate significant benefits for organizations like yours. I expect your prompt attention to this matter. Kindly provide your availability and I will promptly arrange the meeting at your convenience. If there's a more suitable individual on your team to involve, kindly provide their contact details. I look forward to your swift response. Kindly. That, like, was a big WTF moment for me.
That was huge. I mean, that violated so many of the things that not only have we talked about, but just basic online decorum principles and everything else.
100%. With it.
Sorry, chat. We're doing a live one. Totally didn't bring headphones with me. I apologize.
If we have a live audience, by the way, feel free to bring them.
Yeah, we're going to live a bunch of folks around the table going, what the fuck is he talking about?
It triggered because, yes, it was very demanding. It was frankly rude. And I mean, who are you, you know?
It's the who are you to assume you're better than the person on the other end of the keyboard. And I think, yeah, entitled. I'll leave the millennial thing off because, I mean, we get entitlement throughout all the ages, let's face it. But I think for me, I think what also pissed me off on this one is it was aimed, let's just be very honest, it was aimed by a male at a female. It's going to break it straight down. Let's just call it what it is. How do I demean you further?
So by the way, there was an update here. There was an update, which might trigger some of you as well. So I spoke to Janet and I said, hey, like, sorry about this experience. If there's any more crap coming in your way, let us know. We'll address it. And, you know, I reach out to people and say, hey, like, FYI, I got some word that this didn't really resonate. Maybe you try this way. Some say, oh, thanks. And some say, you know, fuck off, Danny, which is fine. I don't care. It's your ass on the line. But she mentioned that she did receive an apology from this gentleman and also LinkedIn messages from two of the leadership team. And they mentioned that, you know, he's new and didn't realize that the tone of his email was contrary to corporate culture. I'm like,
actually, do me a favor. I'm trying to remember if I remember seeing it. I'm trying to figure out. Yay, Maria's joined us. Sending hugs to you. I'm trying to remember if I have that one. Did you send it over? I'm intrigued to look at the company. And actually, let's talk about corporate culture. Let's get there. You go. You're awesome. Thank you. Let me take a look at the corporate culture of this company.
Okay, we're doing it live.
We are doing it live. I'm just trying to see, is that company in here? Proven track. Oh, there we go. The bunch of Muppets. All right. I want to see the corporate culture of this company.
Here.
Your digital transformation partner. Let's take a look at who the company is.
No puppy.
Blogs, investors, careers. A bunch of investors. I don't want the investors. What about the About Us? Do they even have an About Us? Oh, board of directors. Let's have a laugh on this one. Yeah, no, let's have a look at the founders. Yeah, we won't comment too much on this one, but let's just say they could do with a bit of diversity training.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I can understand. I can understand defending your employees, okay? But to say that, I feel like is a little condescending.
It's not just condescending. It is. It's diminishing the fact that there's an impact. Rather than turning and actually admitting what should have been admitted, which is like, hey, that kind of shit should never have left our email server. Absolutely apologize. This individual did not necessarily go through, either they didn't go through the right level of training, or hey, we need to overhaul our training 100%. Program.
Just own it. You know what I mean? Just own it. I think that's an even more positive reflection on your brand and your leadership team and your corporate culture.
Yeah, because I mean, we all make mistakes. Yeah. People make mistakes. Stuff goes outbound that maybe shouldn't go outbound. And you can't be that, you know, if you're sending outbound, you know, business development requests and all this kind of stuff, you've got to rely on the team. You can sit there and you can sit in a room like this and go, hey, here's our philosophy. Here's how we do things. Here's how we structure messages. Here's where Danny and Chris are going to be watching on the email. So be fucking careful. P.S. Don't send them anything. But also, hey, look, be respectful. Yeah.
So let's say you fuck up in an email because we've all done it.
Yeah.
Oh, what is the right approach to kind of closing some of the gaps there or fixing the situation? Like, how would you respond if you were in this gentleman's shoes and you really screwed up? How would you respond to Janet?
First, the individual's got to go look in the mirror and go, hey, I actually screwed up. I think that's unfortunately in our industry, that's something that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah.
They don't take a step back and actually own it. A lot of people go, oh, well, you know, they took it wrong, which is pretty much what happened. They took it wrong, or, well, I didn't mean it that way, or it shouldn't have come across that way, or the digital realm is different than the physical realm. I'm going to give you 10 excuses rather than just look in the mirror and then go back to the keyboard and go, hey, I fucked up. I'm sorry. I had to do it a couple of weeks ago. I shot a note out several weeks, about 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And it was pretty blunt. It was military blunt. And it did not get taken very well by a couple of people. A couple of people actually just understood it completely. A couple of people reacted to it. And I ended up having to send a note back out saying, hey, look, I apologize. High stress moment. Lots going on. Not an excuse, but just a level of understanding as to what's happening. The tone was not meant to be put out in the way it was. I will absolutely own it. And I will take a step back next time and re-reflect on what I should have said. I am very, very sorry. And that's pretty much exactly the message.
And was there a response to that reaction from you?
More positive, way more positive. Like, hey, get it, totally understand it. And I got the, hey, no worries. And I physically made sure I've caught up with the folks as well, just to go, hey, look, and everybody knows what's going on. I mean, you will all have those moments when the place is on fire or something's happening, or there's, you know, 25 other things going on outside of life.
100%. Shit happens. Yeah.
And sometimes it bleeds in, but this isn't a bleed in. This was a first or second reach out or something, for crying out loud. That was a cut, rinse and repeat style of message. Maybe that's number three. I keep getting the ones. Ooh, I forgot to tell you, they've reduced the price. I didn't tell you. Where's my spam? My junk folder. They've reduced the price for me, where the hell is it? There we go. My third reminder for the 10 most influential people in cybersecurity in 2023. It is no longer going to cost me $3,000. It is now going to cost me only $2,000 if I would like to have one of the most influential.
Oh, I'll pitch in.
Do a GoFundMe for it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's...
And then donate the money to, like, Hack for Kids.
I've been seeing a bunch of those, actually. From several different folks.
Yeah, they're all over the place. This one, they brought the price down there, so maybe they're not getting quite as much traction as they really want. Either that, or they're getting desperate, and I need to be one of those people. Although 2023, maybe I'm getting a discount because we're in August.
Oh, hold on, it looks like video is lagging. Let's ping.
GoFundMe. No, I do not need to raise a GoFundMe to become the most influential.
All right.
Neither do I need anybody else doing a GoFundMe for that either. Let's just point that one out. You put the YouTube stuff out.
All right. Before we get into a really fun segment where you promised actually a year in the life of a CISO, I do want to remind the audience that if you do have questions for me or Chris, do prep those. You can plop them in the chat, or you can come on live and ask them, and we'll address them. So, we like to have people on the show. Ping me if you want to come on. I'll DM you the link to join, or just, you know, put it in the comments. All right, let's get to it. A year in the life of a CISO.
Yeah, so we did. I actually, you know, it's tough. It's rare that I run up against the 3,000 character limit in LinkedIn. Every now and again I do when I go long form. This one I blew past by like 1,600 characters. So for those who know, there's a LinkedIn post I put out. Was it yesterday? Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I put out yesterday. And I tried to sit down and go through basically a 12-month cycle from my perspective, from a CISO's perspective. Now, normally when I was sitting down, I'm like, would I go January to January, or should I do a start point when we actually start doing budgeting, which actually is round about now. But I ended up doing January to January for a bunch of different reasons. And the full version, for those of you who read the post, this short version has got maybe 3 to 4 bullet points under each month. I think the full version has like 5 to 6 bullet points, a little bit more pretext and post-text in there as well. There's a little sarcasm, but there's actually quite a lot of just kind of reality checks in here. And, you know, it's, I think there's maybe a little bit of realization to people, because I was going through it, I'm like, okay, you know, I report out to, I have a board meeting tomorrow. I'm not going to do that from here because that would not be good, but I will do the board meeting. I'll run back to the hotel because I'm doing the opening talk tomorrow morning at this conference. And then I got to run back to the hotel and do the board meeting. But I mean, I spend, you know, we've spent several weeks now, obviously getting the slides ready for the board meeting, and that's a quarterly conversation. But this board meeting is a reflection, shall we say, on Q2 and then projects that we're working on in Q3, which, you know, we're halfway through Q3 already. So there's some interesting footwork that has to be done for that. So end up breaking the month down, breaking the year down, obviously, into a standard 12-month calendar. And I think when I reflect on it, and hopefully some of the points that came out is perfect examples, like January. It's like, well, a new budget starts in January. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean I get to spend it. It doesn't mean like January, the checkbook opens up again, not the checkbook ever closes, but the checkbook doesn't just magically open it up again. Somebody puts another, you know, a couple of million in the account and says, go have at it. It doesn't work that way. You know, this is where the reality cuts in. I have to look and go, what's operating expense, what's capital expense, and what have I planned for? What have I done some preceding work on? And then go back to the finance team and go, hey, you know I put this in the budget. We're looking to spend it. And then in our case, if it's over a certain funding, I've got to write a justification. Thankfully, it doesn't have to be too much. It's basically a page that goes to the finance folks and then senior leadership who sign off on it. And then off we go from there. But the other thing that obviously happens for us is end of year reviews. And they start, for the leadership team, we start our end of year reviews, you know, September, October timeframe, when we go through the how are we going to do this, what are we going to do, who are we reviewing. We also have to do peer reviews with at the leadership level. And then, you know, come the beginning of the actual year, we're doing our team initial sets of team reviews. The team do their own reviews, we do reviews of the team, then we sit down officially together. If there's any surprises, it means we've not done our job done during the year and all that stuff. So, and then obviously project kickoffs, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depends on how you look at it. That is the time to go, okay, here's where we plan for let's say next year, 2024. And here are the vendors sort of that we're on the hook for. How are we going to engage with them? Are we going to go, you know, pick up the phone? St. Paris would be a perfect example. I'm sitting here at their conference. Do I pick up the phone to Mickey and go, hey, who's my local rep in town? Or do I go to a third party? So now I start handing that out to the team to go, all right, what order are we doing this in? Are we going to look at, you know, identity management now, or do we look at it further down the line after we've done some other things? So all of that planning comes into play. Plus, I have to take a step back in the beginning of the year and look at what we achieved last year and start getting my board slides ready, because the first quarter's board is not a 15-20 minute talk. It's a longer talk. It's a reflection on what we've done, plus planning for this current year, for the coming year. Next month, obviously February. First thing in February is to remind the company that nobody loves them on the internet because of bloody Valentine's Day. Thanks, Hallmark holidays. You know, February is also RSA. It's the first big conference in our industry. And so, you know, if you're on the vendor side, you've been ramping up for it. If you're on my side, you've been avoiding the 1,500 vendors that are reaching out saying, please come see our booth, please come do our breakfast, dinner, lunch, tea, supper, dessert. You know, we are the one, the only one, and the necessary one. So you're playing dodgems with every single one of those and trying to coordinate a fucking expensive trip to San Francisco for several days. And then, you know, honestly, at that point, you're also sitting down with finances again. It's like, hey, you know, January, here's what we want to spend. February, hey, let's start pushing stuff through so that you can much more efficiently hit the ground running, you know, in that first quarter and move the needle. Because what I hate is back loading a year. And by that, I mean, hey, you know, I've got money, I've got stuff, and I don't want to spend it all at once. But at the same time, I don't want to be getting to third and fourth quarter and suddenly realize that I'm not going to hit my, you know, cybersecurity framework metrics and my DoD metrics. You know, you're trying to balance each quarter out, so you also don't burn the team out as well. Typically, when you start looking at like March, April, May timeframe, that's the human. You start looking at the human side of it, because obviously, let's use a perfect example. You know, I'll use Semperis because I'm out here. If I'm looking at identity management, who do I have on the teams that's running that versus who am I going to need on the teams? Are they my team? Are they a dedicated identity? Am I working with the software development team? Who needs headcount and how much influence and how much work do I have to put into helping them get the headcount? So now I'm working with the people team and the recruiting team, and truthfully, I'm going to hit LinkedIn up and say, hey, these are the bodies I'm looking for, and then touch wood, you know, some folks apply and then we run through the process. So that takes a while as well. April is typically, you know, Q1's board meeting. You know, how do we do in Q1? What are we looking for Q2? How are we on track on that one, as well as from a business perspective, as well as like what initiatives. So in Boom's case this year, the initiatives in Q1, Q2 was get the experimental jet out to Mojave and get that running. We've done some interesting stuff that will hit the news hopefully this week or next week on that one. We really started to kick the final assembly. So the big, you know, $250,000 square foot facility out in North Carolina, get that in build. So, and then we decided this year to move headquarter offices. So, you know, you take a whole bunch of people and you have to move offices. So there's all sorts of fucking logistics that go into that one. So, and we end up doing it ourselves, which is, I think there was a bit of a sarcastic talk. I might have left it in the, yeah, there we go. IT and InfoSec become audiovisual experts, you know, because it's a computer, you know this shit. So all of a sudden, you've got, you know, 40, 50, 60 conference rooms that all have their unique challenges when it comes to AV, and we're expected to do it. And, you know, we've got third-party companies running around the place like lunatics. So, you know, you fast forward to May, June, July, and then the human factor comes in for those folks that have families. You know, you can't plan major projects during those times because people have got families. They want to take time off. You should respect that and honor that and take the time out for that. So you don't plan major projects for that kind of time, let alone the fact that vendors and suppliers are in the same boat as well. It's like, you know, if I want to kick off a major project, I'm sure as hell I'm not going to do it in the middle of the summer. You really have two good times for kicking off major projects, which is kind of almost like that Q2 time. And then when everybody comes back, so now school is now back in session. So we are in August. So really, you got September, October to get those last couple of really good projects running. Because again, you hit December and you have to take all sorts of atmospherics and weather and holidays and in this country, Thanksgiving and all that crazy lunacy into play. So you lose, you know, you've got 12 months to do projects. You don't. You've maybe got 6 months at best to do projects. And the rest of the time you're in other kinds of either proactive or reactive modes, depending upon what's going on.
12 months you listed out there, 6 months where it's actually proactive project work. Where can a vendor, sales folks, marketing folks, anyone who needs to persuade you to get the time of day fit in?
Yeah.
Like, how do they elegantly fit in from a timing perspective and a value creation perspective?
So let's break that down. Let's break down the month. If you hit me in, let's say, January, perfect example, you hit me in January, the only way you're going to get on my radar in January is, so let's we'll use, I'm here, there's three of the, but there's some folks in the room here from Semperis. So let's say I'm looking at identity management, and let's say I'm looking at my Active Directory. I'm looking at where more of my users are. I've got, you know, I look at it from a CISO perspective. What have I got? Where is it? And who has access? By the time I ask the who has access question, these guys should be on the radar. Now, if they weren't on the radar, and let's say one of Semperis' folks reached out and said, hey, we've got this really fucking cool tool, and here's how it works and here's how it integrates, that is the only time in that phase it will ever fit in. If you hit me in like February, March, April, May, June, July timeframe, I'm going to pretty much ignore you because either that project's kicked off or I'm working on other projects that are taking priority. At that point, now we're back into August, September, October timeframe when I'm planning for next year. So now I'm starting to look at my 2024 and my 2025, what I'm going to be beholden to from a board standpoint. And at this point in time, from now for the next 2 to 3 months is probably the prime time to actually sit down with vendors and teams and go, hey, let's plan the next 12 months or let me plan out even further, 24 months. I'm meeting with somebody here later on today She's building an amazing, potentially almost like an amazing CISO platform, which I'm actually kind of intrigued to do. I'm really, really intrigued on this one. And for me, that's a 2024 conversation because, and maybe even 25, depending upon how much heavy lifting stuff. Yeah, you hit me really from, maybe you have RSA at a push, but like March through August, you hit me in any of those times. And unless you've got something that stands out that wasn't on my radar because I didn't do my job properly, or wasn't on my radar because I didn't think about it, or I'm having to react to it. So yeah, perfect example. Let's just take ransomware as a perfect example. Let's say I have my proactive plans out there, but my ass gets hit with ransomware. Something I missed, didn't think about, new variant, or just an oh shit moment. At that point, then I go into a much more react, learn, go in mode. And that's the only other time in a cycle where I would take a step back and go, why do I need to look at something new? Or maybe the business, you know, we knew last year we were going to be building a new building. Now, if I'm doing my job properly, I've got a finger on that pulse. I already know identity architecture systems I'm going to be putting in there. But let's say the business decides it wants to go by, you know, we're building planes and engines. Let's just suddenly say we decide we want to go build space shuttles. And so, Boom's going to build space shuttles means a whole different supply chain, a whole different architecture. So at that point, that's a business react mode. But if I've done my job properly, now I'm planning for 24 and 25. And really, January, February, I action those things and off we go. And I don't look at anybody else unless there's a huge exception to that rule.
So you mentioned by the end of the year, early year, you're already actioning those things. Does that mean that you've purchased a solution or you've evaluated and said, okay, let's start seeing how it works within my environment and you're working with the people?
Do you remember that spreadsheet I shared out? We went through like the project list. So let's say I'm looking at, well, let's just take endpoint. Perfect example. Let's say I'm taking endpoint. So let's say in 2024, I decide I'm going to chuck out the endpoint and go do something else. In 2023, I figured out that's a 24 project. I already know the main protagonists in that endpoint conversation. So I'm going to start talking to vendor suppliers and folks I'm around going, hey, these are the main protagonists. These are the ones I care about. These are the ones that shall never dock on my doorstep. Who am I missing? And those will be 2023 prep questions because like anything, you know, I know what we rolled out and I know how long it took. And if I'm doing my job properly, I know that an endpoint rollout is going to take X amount of time. Well, maybe if a vendor comes in and says, hey, we have the ability, a proven ability to do it more effectively, more efficiently, and we can deploy it with, you know, fucking spells, wizards, and goblins, and it can do it in 6 weeks as opposed to 6 months, maybe I'll listen. And so that would be the way I'd look at it. Now, come January, if I turn around and say, okay, we're going to kick off this project, we'll take a step back. I'll go back and look at that short list of companies I want to talk with. And maybe somebody gets added to that. You know, the RSA walkthrough, instead of walking out, I walk around the bleachers and all of a sudden there's a company that says, hey, you know, we deploy, you know, an endpoint detection based off of, you know, quantum cryptography and fucking unicorn farts. And we deploy it with goblins and rogue elves. All right, you know, let's take a look at that. Let's see how effective that is. Because if it's effective and it gets Clam Strike out of the way, then I'm all for it. And so, but that would be the only other time. At that point, now I'm going to concentrate on getting it rolled out with the protagonist and in support of, you know, the MSSP and everything else that we have. So there are very few windows in a CISO's year where you will even get their attention to put it on a roadmap. I mean, I think that's one overarching message.
So I'm going to ask two questions. We'll go down two routes. The first route is you've come to the point where you stacked up three solutions, right? You're evaluating three solutions and it's crunch time. You got to figure it out. What can those vendors do and the folks managing your account and, you know, managing the relationship with you do to kind of win that business?
That's a tough one. I think it's just be ready for the conversations and the questions. You know, I'll be very, very open. I mean, we're starting to have exploratory conversations with Checkpoint at the moment. We have non-Checkpoint technology in the office at the moment. we obviously are building out numerous other offices, including a really great assembly line. And I'm doing my due diligence. You know, we have somebody else's tech in, but I'm looking at Checkpoint, one, because I know them of old, secondly, because I know what they're up to, and thirdly, because I want to do my due diligence. So we're having lunch and learns now so that I can look at 24 and go, are they a considered entity for 2024? In their defense, they're like, hey, do you want to do virtual? Do you want to do physical? We'll change with the circumstances. Who do we need to bring to the table? And what's the focus? So it's a very interactive set of conversations to have. And to give them some credit, you know, it's had to move, it's had to morph a little bit just because of, you know, a whole bunch of other bit odds, moves and changes on their area. But Mary's been fantastic because she's turned around and said, yeah, I got you covered. What do you need? You know, and it's, hey, I want to talk about how the wireless and the wired integrates. I want to talk about maybe how we do this. I want to talk about this stuff. How does manufacturing work and stuff like that? So it's a very interactive conversation, and Mary is effective and efficient enough to bring the right people to the right table at the right time. So I think but on my hand, on my side, I also have to be respectful of that time. I do not want people doing rock fetches. That to me is bullshit. You know, I'm not going to ask 100 questions and expect 100 responses. I, as the CISO, also have to respect that, you know, Mary's got 50 or 100 other clients. So how can I be respectful of that time and use the time that we have as concisely as possible? It isn't perfect. Things change, but you try to be as good as you can.
On the flip side, though, let's say, and this is a question from Robbie, by the way, let's say you didn't make the short list.
Yep.
Right. When reaching out to see if a product can help you and it's not the best time, what's the best way to have teams from those vendors meet to keep in contact and keep things going, that relationship capital that we talk about? Or is this something that you don't recommend?
Ironically, somebody just reached out to me. Last year, when I started, so I started a boom, and, you know, first question I ask is what eyes do I have? And the answer was not quite where I wanted it. So I'm like, all right, I need eyes. And I want to know what I've got, where it is, and I need eyes, 24/7, 365 eyes. So last year, we started up a project for managed security services and just basically getting the fucking logs in one place so that we knew what the hell we had and what it was doing. And I talked with three or four different companies. Actually, I probably talked with four or five different companies. And obviously, you know, everybody who knows the conversation Maria and I have will probably be able to pretty easily figure out that it was Maria and her organization, the folks over at NewSpire, who we went with.
Now, side note,
I literally,
Maria, yeah. At this point, it's the NewSpire show. Let's talk NewSpire.
So I'd actually talked with a couple of other companies. And one of them apparently took on, beginning of the year, one of them took on a very good friend of mine, RJ. And RJ literally just reached out to me yesterday or today and said, hey, didn't get a chance to catch up with you at summer camp. He's been over at this other vendor who we did not choose since the beginning of the year. And they just want to catch up. You know, to their credit, he's like, hey, I've been over the beginning of this year. He's been tasked with building up their MSSP division, and he wanted to catch up. He just wants to catch up. So I'll catch up with him, but the context from that catch up is literally, we're going to sit down, have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. You know, we've been with NewSpire now for, let's say, around about a year. I have absolutely no fucking desire to change. There's no logic, there's no reason, there's desire. There is no need to put us or them or anybody through that current. And neither is there any need to effect a conversation around change. Because you know as well as I do, sometimes that's a negotiating tactics. I hate it, but it happens. Sometimes it's also a way to take a step back and objectively look at the organization. And I think if that has to happen, then you've got to take a step back and look at the actual organization you're working with. You know, if you don't hear, I mean, I got reached out, Dell reached out to me the other day and said, hey, we'd love to talk. I'm like, why? You fucking ignore me for the last 8 or 9 months and you're useless. You know, so a once a year reach out is kind of useless. Whereas with somebody like the Maria stuff in the newspot, it is an ongoing partnership. We give feedback, they give feedback, we work with them. And so that's how it works. And so I look for partners yep. like that. We do it. I mean, you know, we've got some pretty decent networking gear in, but we don't even deal with the manufacturers directly. We work through a supplier VAR type relationship mm-hmm. In town who have an amazing depth and breadth of good knowledge on those platforms. Yeah. So I have a working relationship with them, which is much more effective. So, you know, you get in by providing value. And if you didn't get in, you know, you're one of the four selected, you three didn't get selected. Well, I mean, that's life. I'm happy to have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee with you and reflect on why.
So are you willing to reflect on why? Because April asks a very good question. Yeah. She asks, how many actual post-mortem sessions do you have after being eliminated? Do you accept those meetings?
I've had those. Yeah, I will accept those meetings. I'll accept them as long as they are learning lessons. If it's a sour grapes or hey, we'd come back with better pricing, that kind of shit, I won't deal with it. Because if you didn't give me the best pricing when I asked for it, giving it to me afterwards is going to actually piss me off rather than change my mind. And to me, it's won't. Yeah, I think that's Maria's right. If you don't get selected, most of them just vanish. Some of them don't want to learn why.
Yeah.
But some do. If somebody actually wants to learn why, and I mean, maybe with the folks over at Apollo, maybe RJ wants to know, hey, like, why didn't we get selected? Mm-hmm. Now, I gave them feedback. I explained to them, like for like, apples for apples, you are just more expensive. I don't understand why. I don't get the logic. I've tried giving you the feedback. Nothing changes. Therefore, I don't see a reason to go with you in any way, shape, or form. And friends and family should be giving me a discount, not a doubling of the price.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's so. Yeah, I'm happy to sit down and do the reflective stuff, but it'll be short and sweet and to the point. But it'll be reflective because then that way, hopefully, maybe
I actually had one more question. I know we're heading towards the end of the session, but before we sign off and give off the imparting thoughts, you gave your year in the life, but this is not universal across all CISOs. This is very, very personal. Yes. No.
I would argue there are some commonalities. Okay. I would argue there's some commonalities. I mean, a perfect example, if anybody who reports out to either leadership or to the board is going to be done on a cyclical periodic basis. So there's always a point where you sit down and go, what do we do in the last quarter? What are we doing in the next quarter? And then how is that going to affect end of year? So as a leader in an organization, you're always doing that. Secondly, there's cycles. There's always engagements with other teams. You know, there's always the cycle engagements with finance. You know, you're spending money. How do I effectively spend it wisely? How do I spend it so that finance is comfortable? How do I show that I'm a good custodian of the organization's finances? How do I not necessarily prove worth or ROI? Depends. If you're having to do that, there's some other issues you're dealing with there. But how do I explain it in a way that finance is comfortable and the business is comfortable with what we're doing and what we're spending and where? And then there's always cyclical meetings. I mean, I didn't put it on here, but I mean, I have monthly meetings with all different areas, and I encourage the teams that I run to have monthly meetings with the different areas of the business. I mean, it's the only way you learn. It's a heartbeat thing. And the conference season is a real thing. You know, it kicks off with RSA. We get summer camp, which has just occurred. And then, you know, now with some of us doing a bunch of stuff out in the sandbox again, there's a bunch of stuff obviously out in the Middle East towards the end of the year. Those take time, especially if you're up on stage. You know, you don't just turn up and present. You've got days and weeks worth of time to get that ready. Alan actually said it perfectly, and you maybe can validate this so well. I mean, every single podcast episode for him is anywhere from like an 8 to a 10 to 12 hour effort. I don't run them. I mean, you and I do this. I have minimal amount of work, thankfully, on this one. But, you know, between the podcast and the conferences and everything else, that's out of every month. That whole thing is probably close on a week's worth of my time.
Yeah. Each.
So that has to be.
Each episode, by the way, folks, each episode takes a day to produce. A lot goes into these episodes. And we have two podcasts here. Yeah. So that's 2 days out of each week on podcasting.
Whew. Yeah. And like my Mondays, every single Monday, I typically have between 13 and 15 meetings on Mondays because those are my ones. So I sit down with core team, direct reports. I sit down with leadership. I sit down with cross-functional.
And then you
teams.
Have the Fridays carved out for some vendors.
Friday afternoons is all vendor stuff. And they got a chunk of hours in there for other stuff on that one. You know, we have this Wednesday morning. Every single morning there is a catch-up, a 30-minute catch-up with the team. So, you know, you're running in almost an agile mode team on that one. Every week there's leadership meetings and leadership teams. So the week, and then, you know, I literally have blocks. I have blocks of time cut out of my schedule, which is do shit. You know, it's get me the hell out of a meeting. Noel knows not to block meetings, and I actually get to do work.
Do you feel like, let me back up this question. Have you done the Friday vendor meetings before, or is this relatively a new thing that you're doing?
I had them, but they were scattered. They were scattered. I would try to fit them in, and I took it from, I don't remember who it was. I don't think it was Gary Hayslip. It was somebody in our community. Yeah, maybe. It was somebody in our community. I took their lead on it, and it was actually effective. They're like, hey, they put a day aside or half a day aside for vendors, and I'm like, that's perfect. I like it because it keeps it in, you know, I've got like, hey, Friday afternoons, which is great unless it's working with an Israeli team, at which point I'm like, maybe we have to do Thursday afternoons or Sunday afternoons or Monday, you know, something like that. But it was very much like, hey, I'm going to take, you know, 4 to 5 to 6 hours every single week, put it aside for vendor specific meetings and that kind of
so
stuff.
So what's changed since you've been doing that?
It's more structured, which makes life easier. Actually, for me, it makes life easier because I typically will accept the same, if not more, meetings. But to me, it's more structured. I feel less haphazard over doing it. You know, I used to dread, to be honest, I used to dread some of them. I would give the time because that's the only way you affect change. But I would dread some of them because they were, you know, I'd be in the middle of a day. I'd be in the middle of like a regular work day. And I'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to do this. And the mental mind has to change in order to be able to go from I'm in a, you know, either a proactive or a whatever kind of mode or something like that into a, hey, we need to talk more strategic. So I think having it all time blocked, it's kind of like why my Mondays are all catch-ups. Like my Monday 30-minute meetings with everybody is purely it's a ridiculously tactical day. But it works. I've got that mindset for the whole day. So my Friday afternoons are like, hey, I get to unwind a little bit. I get to talk with vendors about maybe the next year or the next 2 to 3 years. I get to give them some critical feedback. We get to maybe have a conversation about what they're doing and where maybe it would fit in. And then if it fits in, I hand it off to, you know, Tara or Justin or Brad, or I talk with one of the other teams or the physical teams and say, hey, go talk with these folks. You now vet it properly and let's have a conversation as to maybe where it would fit in.
No. You're going to start seeing an influx of vendors coming in on your Friday.
If it happens, they still got to get past Noel and they still got to get past me first off before they even get to the calendar. Actually, you know, before they even get to the calendar, they've actually got to make it through the inbox. Yeah. Let's face it.
Oh, man. We should visualize those hurdles.
Which most of them apparently can't. They don't have the ability to actually understand how to put two words. Oh, God's help us. Here's another one. I'm reaching out to see if XDR or red team assessments or other security requirements factor into your current security strategy. No, I'm the fucking CISO and I don't care about that. Really, a Muppet?
Oh, well.
Oh, they're patronized by the US Air Force and the FBI. You know, if you just spend 10 seconds researching me, you realize that the FBI and I don't see eye to eye. People. Welcome to inbound crappy spam.
Well, we're fighting a good fight, so hopefully it'll improve.
We offer a quick 30-day compromise assessment service with a full money back if ever fails to do so. Never failed since 2015.
So I want to talk about those assessments, those tools, the calculators. I think we touched on this briefly in one episode.
We have done,
but
yes.
We should talk about those because I've been coming across some websites with some, you know, potential clients. I'm eager to know if those kinds of things work. But let's, given we are towards the end, I do want to touch on any important thoughts, something you want to give to the audience before we sign off today.
Yeah, I think understand cycles. Mm-hmm. I think that for me is the big one. It's when you break down like a 12-month time frame, let's just say from a sales cycle, you only really have, say, 4 months to actually get my mm-hmm. interest. At most, you've got 3 to 4 months to get my interest. It's, you know, likely between, say, August, September, October, maybe into November, or let's just say September, October, November, and maybe some of January. And that's really about it. That's that, unless you hit me effectively in those 4 to 5 months, you don't have a consideration for the next, let's just say, 12 months.
So there's...
Unless I am reacting to a situation, business or otherwise. Now, we, even within those time frames, there are a number of other factors that have to come into play. As we've gone through, you know, April just said about the spreadsheet. April, I don't know what spreadsheet you're on about, but hit me up. I have a lot of spreadsheets. If it is the NIST one, I will send it to you. Just hit me up on it. Even if you hit me in that right time frame, if it is not something that is on my roadmap, you know, if I have my MSSP in place, I got my endpoint in place, I have other things in place, those have cycles. I'm not doing a rip and replace every 12 months unless I have selected completely incorrectly. Mm-hmm. We'll use NewSpire as an example. Let's just say we put NewSpire in. And it was a terrible fit. Let's just say we were put it in and it was like, good grief, what the hell are we doing? You know, Maria decided to up and go move to the Antarctic to look after penguins. Her team decided to go raise koalas, and I'm left with a bunch of Muppets who have no fucking clue as to why they're dealing with me. Now, after trying to struggle and get it sorted out, maybe we'd be looking at doing that. But because the relationship is where it is, I have no desire to look for another year or two at least. And even then, my preference would be to sit down with them and go, okay, here's what's working. Here's where we're going. Here's the roadmap. How does that align with your roadmap? Because remember, our roadmap and a vendor's roadmap also have to align. And then if that's the case, off we go. Let's just keep going. There's no reason to change. And it's the same thing with the endpoint side of the world. You know, we went through the pain and suffering of ripping out endpoint to put in a new endpoint system. Why the hell would I want to do that every single 12 months? You know, maybe unless there is a drastic change in the roadmap of where the endpoint system is, or a drastic difference in how they focus on research, how they do deployments and rollouts, unless there is a major change, kind of what Carbon Black went through. You know, they were the darling, and now unfortunately they're struggling to, you know, fight their way out of a wet paper bag, let's be honest. So if that's the case, then maybe as a business function and a risk function, I have to take a step back and look at it. But if that isn't the case, there's no logical reason for change. I've got plenty of other shit on my plate to deal with. So then they have to fit into the right section of whatever roadmap I'm adhering to and wherever I am on that NIST cybersecurity framework or DoD frameworks.
Beautiful. I'm going to impart by saying respect people's time. And more importantly, respect people. That's it.
Amen to that one.
That is all. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. This has been awesome. We're going to let you go, Chris, because you have quite a jam-packed schedule today in New York.
I do, and I have, and I feel extremely humbled by the fact I've been sitting in a room with a bunch of other folks all yabbering away.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, one last final thing. Okay. The coffee pods and all those things, they do tea. I made the mistake this morning of putting tea in a pod into a cup and drinking it. Don't ever do that. People that make those tea pods and those little sachets of tea that you put in and you put in, no, those kind of people need to be tasted. That is not good. Don't ever do that to tea, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Microsoft's trying to poison me. It's as simple as that. I mean, that's really cool.
Well, take care of yourself. This has been awesome. And yeah, another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We will see you all next week, hopefully with no technical glitches, Danny.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Stay safe, everybody.